Good morning. Today is Monday, November the 23rd. Trinidad, basically Trinidad, fishing gals. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Winston, you got a super special something about, why do we say that for this morning?
Okay, I've never heard that one before, so we're not going to use that. Why do we use the expression, I don't give a hoot, to show our unconcern?
That's a better version than the one that is most often used. Don't give a hoot.
Don't give a hoot.
That's... Well, it must have something to do with owls, obviously. Don't give a hoot. I don't know, maybe because owls are plentiful and there's so many of them, they're worth nothing.
According to this, it doesn't really have anything to do with owls.
Oh, so totally wrong. Good.
A hoot is a shout of derision and contempt. A person so unconcerned that he doesn't even care to give a hoot in derision is presumably not interested at all.
Oh. Well, hopefully that's not our listeners this morning. Oh. We have got this thing called crab season coming up. Last time we talked, there was... plenty of discussion of the previous season. What's this season looking like?
Oh, what a good question. Here we are, almost to Thanksgiving. The holidays rolling in on us, and what's going on?
Well, the
with
season's
crab?
A week from tomorrow, right?
The season officially opens up here December 1st. It actually already officially opened down in the San Francisco area. But so what the heck's going on up here? Are we going to have crab for the holidays? Well, in a word, I think that we have a good chance of having crab for Christmas this year. Our crab here are fat and full. There's just not a whole heck of a lot of them.
That's what I've heard, is that the unit count, so to speak, is down, but those that are, to use a cattle phrase, are beefy.
That is absolutely it. And if you think about it, it only makes sense. There are less crab, they have more to feed on.
More food.
And they're fatter. And they're
now,
fuller.
Well, crabs, I mean, most of us probably are familiar with the Dungeness crab, and let's call it a small pie plate size.
Okay.
If there's less of them but more food, what is the physical size? How big could these things? I mean, they're not going to get to a king crab size, but how big could they get?
You know, that's a good question, Brian. I've seen 3 and 4 pound crab at times. I mean, that is a very large crab. So you're going to have more.
Or they got really heavy work boots on.
Well, and I think the other thing is that their life cycle, when they fill out, that life cycle may go more quickly. So in other words, once they get fat and full, then they shed their shell.
They get more cycles.
Exactly. Yeah. So they just keep moving through it a little quicker. So I think that this year they're fat and full. Domoic acid testing up and down the coast is all clear. Ocean conditions are moving back to, if I can put in air quotes, normal, whatever that might be. But we're getting, updwelling, and our winter storms are on the verge of coming in.
All the stuff that's normal.
Yeah, what we should be looking at.
Yeah. Now, for folks that are unfamiliar, the domoic acid is why we've had some of the delays. And mm-hmm. some of the challenges, there are two elements, right? If there's not enough, mm-hmm. okay, that's one aspect, and we see that with salmon and some mm-hmm. of the other species. But also, if this stuff is in the water and then found in the, where does that come from?
That's a really good question, Brian. Basically,
you realize you can't use that phrase anymore.
Okay, that's
I can't
that
have
three
times? Really good questions in one show. I've okay. already hit that max.
That's it. You're over.
Yeah.
So. Basically, domoic acid it has to do with an algal bloom, and it has to do with water conditions, warmer water. And what happens is there's an algal bloom that causes, it gets into the system, so the ecosystem, so it's going to start out with your clams, and like razor clams and
well,
that
really,
sort of
so
thing.
Those are the canaries, so to speak.
Well, yeah, they are.
Because, the lead indicator, yeah.
Yeah, and so what happens then is then the crab are feeding on the clams. And so then they collect they get high levels of the domoic acid. Domoic acid in mammals and in can cause neurotoxin. So it's a neurotoxin, so it can give you some side effects that are fairly unpleasant. High enough doses, it could cause you some really bad problems.
You could turn into a radio guy?
Maybe. Yeah. In a small room with a microphone.
Yeah. And you just talk to yourself all day long. but there are no signs of that. Are there any other potential issues along those lines that folks monitor that could cause a problem?
That it's pretty much in the crustaceans, it's going to be domoic acid. So there are a number of balls in the air for crab. It's going to be how full they are, the domoic acid. And then the final one, now we have a new complicating factor, is marine mammals and whales. And that's really what's affecting the fishery this year.
Their presence or the need to avoid?
So basically, in a nutshell,
we're talking seals and walrus, right?
Nope. We're only talking about right now endangered species that are listed, whales. And so that would be the humpback whale, two particularly distinct populations that come along our coast, and also blue whales. The third one is a leatherback turtle, and that's also endangered.
Now, do they eat the crab, or they just are out there when the fishermen are out doing the crabbing and could get caught up?
Exactly. And that's basically what it is that whales, and not turtles, but whales have been entangled in fishing gear. And so what we look for, I mean, if you think about the Dungeness crab fishery, we've been fishing since the late 1800s. Crab fishermen have coexisted with whales all that time. 40 years ago, we quit harvesting whales. So now the populations of whales, particularly the humpback whale, is estimated to be growing at 7% a year. Population is very healthy. So what happens? That's a good thing. We have more whales. But it also conflicts with the crab fishery because the possibility exists that they become entangled in the crab gear.
So if the whale population is growing at that pace, how long do they remain endangered?
That's a really good question that we need to be pressing on.
Let's just say it's an okay question.
I got to help that one. So,
all right. Well, reflect on it. We'll be back after the break. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Susan Rotwein from, well, Captain's Axe, but I don't know. I guess there really is a mayor in Trinidad, so we can't say that. Is there still a Fishermen's Marketing Association?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Live and well.
Okay.
And then this would be the time that I'll get my plug in for the Blessing of the Fleet. Which
I was going to say the second half of the show for that.
Oh,
just do the whole segment on that one.
Oh.
Don't worry, I've only got two things written down on my scratch paper here. So the marine mammals and the protection of those has certainly, sensitivity has increased significantly since the population of the whales got as low as they were, and they're coming back. How are the crabbers and fishermen in general having to make adjustments for that element of what is now their reality?
Well, here in California, the Fish and Wildlife Department put out a new set of rules that they call the RAMP regulations. What does that mean? Risk Assessment Mitigation. Long way of saying we're going to protect the whales. But protect the whales, the regulations that they've now implemented go a step further. What they do is, if there is the presence of an endangered species in any one of the seven fishing zones, presence alone closes the Dungeness crab season.
You mean so one errant whale?
No, they have to.
That makes a right-hand turn instead of a left-hand turn?
They have to see a concentration of 20. But 20 whales in a large fishing zone, and I'll give you the example, all of the northern part of the state from Point Arena north is two fishing zones. So in those two fishing zones, all you got to see is 20 whales in one of those zones. And that's a huge
area. Now, when they migrate, there's a lot of that, but typically the migration is in a March, plus or minus.
Well, they're leaving. They're actually going south right now. That's what's happening. And then they come back, and they head north in April, May, June, that sort of. And different whales, you know, blue whales, a little different timing than humpback whales. But all that to be said, that there's not a fishery in the United States, continental or even on the planet for that matter, that is managed strictly because of numbers, of presence of a whale. And that's what they're doing here in California. It's really...
So it's California, it's not PFMC. Pacific Fisheries Management Council.
Nope, this is strictly California.
And Oregon, once they hit the state line?
It's a different ball game.
Well, that may explain the sunglasses then that they have as they're swimming by. is there any thought that could be relaxed a little bit? At least, to mirror what Oregon and Washington are doing? Because they're not seen as anything other than sensitive as well.
I don't think so, Brian. These regulations just got rolled out on November 1st. And I've been involved.
Oh, you mean like a couple weeks ago?
A couple of weeks ago. Okay. These are new, and they're so restrictive that the health of the fishery is what's at stake at this point. I mean, this is the Dungeness crab fishery, as I mentioned earlier, has been, we've coexisted with whales since 1890. And, you know, just by example, this past season, there was one whale that was entangled, one whale off the coast, southern, you know, Bodega kind of area, one whale, and it was successfully released. So one whale entangled as the season was closing down south, successfully released. Those are the kind of numbers that we're looking at now. The fishermen are committed and have adopted ways of fishing that we fish symbiotically with the whales. And honestly...
So who's driving this bus?
I think that basically what's going on at this point is fisheries are being managed based on emotion, not on science and economics. Because the science tells us, yes, there are whales in the ocean. Yes, they're moving. And for the most part, particularly this time of the year, is a very low risk for entanglement situation. Now, why would it be that you could sport crab? Those ropes aren't going to catch whales, but commercial crab line does. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, when you think about it, I like to use the analogy of driving down the highway. You're driving down the highway, you hit a deer. That's a terrible thing. Deer, for the deer and for you. Are we going to close our highways because you hit a deer? No.
Oh, sounds like perhaps the automotive industry has a stronger lobbying group than do the fishermen. Or the seafood producers, is that...
I think in California...
Does it get down to that level?
I think in California, the management is based on emotions. And, you know, folks, non-governmental agencies that have taken up the baton of basically trying to regulate the fishermen off the water. And when you have folks who make an honest, hard living, supply a high-quality product with all those benefits of seafoods to our communities, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Are the same groups that are the anti-beef and some of those other protein-related industries doing battle at this, or is there something, a different spin that's being utilized?
Well, where this all started was back a few years with the Center for Biologic Diversity, and they're basically an environmental group that is... that's what they do is they go around and have weaponized the Endangered Species Act against industry. And the crab fleet was in the sights. So we're looking at now 2 years down the road, 2 years of fairly devastating economic situation based on the whales to the crab fleet. And I would tell you that the health of the fishery isn't there.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Susan Rottwein about Crab Plus. We're going to get to the plus part here shortly. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. Susan, part of the challenge, I would think, is also maintaining an industry. You got the regulatory elements. Okay, fine. But like with any industry, people retire. Mm-hmm. They get out of it. Is there a interest in backfilling into the fishing industry? Are you getting new commercial fishermen buying the licenses, buying new boats, investing in, or is it just kind of becoming more, I don't want to say an old man's business, but an aging?
You don't, Brian, you don't see people going into it. The regulatory component of commercial fishing has just become burdensome in the state of California. I use Trinidad as kind of a finger on the pulse and an example. We have a small fishing fleet, 15 boats actively fishing this year, and I believe 5 have retired just this year alone. The price of a Dungeness crab permit over the last few years with the regulatory background has taken a dive. The price of boats, people just aren't going into it, and the permits are worthless.
So that's you know, 25% of a fleet going out on their own.
Yeah.
Is pretty significant. Is it going to get to the point, do you think, where crab is going to be something that's like caviar?
I think...
And there just won't be that much on the market, but what there is going to be up through the roof?
I think that may be what we're looking at down the road, unless there is some dramatic change and balance restored to fisheries management, because the fisheries management is out of balance. Essentially, there's a lot of information about the whales, where they are, what they're doing, what they're eating, but there's not a lot of information on the health of the fleet. And what do I mean by that? Last year alone, we were closed down on April 15th, 3 months early. So our season up here for Dungeness crab lasted about 11 weeks. Usually it's a 7 to 8 month season. Our fleet alone, and in the northern zone, it's estimated that we had a loss of more than $25 million. Now, that is a huge number for our area, Humboldt, Del Norte, Mendocino. Huge. We can't tolerate those kind of hits to the fleet and to the industry. And that's just looking at X vessel value. That's not even looking at, you know, what about the infrastructure in the community? What about the other coastal support, the coastal communities? I mean, crabbing and fishing are the lifeblood of our coastal communities here in California.
Is this just a numbers game, the LA folks and the Sacramento folks and Bakersfield and those that don't have fishing fleets, or the independent fishermen and fisherwomen, and they just, it just isn't there, or is it just being outweighed by some of the lobbying efforts?
I think it's outweighed by lobbying efforts of folks who are trying to manage fisheries based on emotion and actually, you know, feeling sorry for the marine mammal versus looking at the health of the population and the health of the fishery, and how do you balance those two things together?
Any thoughts of a change of perspective on that?
In California? I'm not hopeful.
So how does that play out? A lot of the guys here move up the coast into Oregon? If they want to stay in the industry?
I think that could be happening. I think that there will be folks from the south that may migrate north and folks from the north that may migrate further north. I think that really we need to restore the balance to the fishery. And it would start with the Fish and Wildlife Director Bonham taking some dramatic steps to change up the rules that they just implemented.
Now, it is intriguing to me when you think of San Francisco, not the last 5 years. San Francisco, you got three iconic things, right? You got the bridge, cable cars,
and
Fisherman's Wharf.
Yep.
And the wharf is not Ghirardelli Square, it's the Crab.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that San Francisco doesn't have more sway or concern even with this. Do they? And it's just being outweighed by those other lobbying groups?
I think that there are fleets and folks up and down the coast, particularly in the coastal communities, that are extremely concerned. And there are folks being put out of business. But I think that the political will is going with protection of the marine mammals instead of protection and support for the fishery, which, frankly, is the number one grossing fishery in the state of California.
Now, crab is one of the species that are fished.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a trend across all categories?
It is in California. Not so much in Oregon and Washington, but the regulatory nature of California is basically squeezing the lifeblood out of the commercial fishery.
To the point where we have to rely on the factory ships?
Or
the international
things. Yeah, you know. Or other things. Because and to me, that it's a travesty to deny the non-fishing public and our communities the health benefits of fabulously fresh seafood.
Now, we've heard of fish farms. Are there crab farms? Is there a parallel to that? Or is
not that I'm aware.
Pretty much, yeah, I hadn't heard of it either. That wasn't a good question.
That was a bad question.
I can ask News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Susan Rottwein. Kind of shifting gears here a little bit. Blessing of the fleet is something that is, I guess, pretty traditional for most coastal communities up and down the coast. Well, that's where you find most coastal communities, huh? Ours typically is done on Thanksgiving.
Correct. And that's this is our 25th annual for the Trinidad Blessing of the Fleet. This year, we're going to be doing it a little bit differently with the backdrop of the pandemic. We are encouraging, I mean, every year we encourage our community to come out, and because the community is such an integral part of the blessing, coming together for safety and abundance for our fishing fleet. This year, we're asking everybody to join us from their home. We are going to be doing a Facebook.
You don't have to go down to the pier?
Nope. It's I know.
That's part of it.
That's part of it, being outside in the elements and
little drizzle.
A little bit of drizzle. Yeah. The community comes together. It's such a, you know, part of the cultural fabric of Trinidad, if you will. But this year we're going to have a very small group, basically our group that puts it on every year, and we're going to do a Facebook Live event. That information and how to get on to that can be found on the Trinidad Chamber of Commerce website. And we are going to do it our usual time, 10 to 10:30 on Thanksgiving morning.
Right after Macy's.
Right after the Macy's parade. There you go.
Live, not rebroadcast, yeah. Coast Guard guys and gals have participated in the past also. I know there's special components and concerns that they've got as well. Are they going to be part of this?
Absolutely. I'm not sure if the new commander is going to join us on site or not, but they will do a flyover for us, you know, pending no other emergent situations are occurring at the same time. But they provide that. And then what we do is every year as a group, we make a talisman for the fishermen. It's a secret until Thanksgiving Day. But we also do that for the Coast Guard. We provide them a talisman and include them, of course, in all of our blessings.
One of the cool things that I take away from those is how across the board it is. Mm-hmm. You've got the clerics with the collars, and you've got the Indian religious folks, and pretty much all of the different folks are involved. Is that kind of the consensus thought, is that you want everybody to kind of be there?
Exactly. That's exactly it, Brian. It's a slice of our community where we come together only for the purpose of community, safety, and blessings. And all the other stuff and nonsense and noise that's going on in our world gets put aside.
Do the dinghies get blessed also?
We bless it all.
Good, you know, if you bring a turkey down, you know, it might get a little rebound or a boomerang off of someone. Well, hopefully this will be a very positive experience and a positive year also for crabbing, and we'll see. What are the prices? Have those been negotiated yet, or are we still kind
nope.
of in flex?
Nope, so we'll we're in flex. Right.
We'll get some updates on those also.
Exactly.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.